Hello and welcome to The Property Exchange, your guide to the latest news, views and opinions in residential property, with Winkworth, with you every step of the way in the property market. Your host is writer and commentator Anne Ashworth.
Hello and welcome to the Property Exchange podcast. In this episode, how the imposition of VAT on school fees is impacting the property market. The government's decision to add VAT to school fees from the beginning of this year is forcing families to make really big decisions. Some are bearing the extra cost, while others are pulling their children out of fee-paying private schools and enrolling them in state primaries and secondaries. This means that the competition for homes near the top state schools is becoming even more ferocious in some locations, with consequences for house prices in those areas. But there's a broader impact from the change. Some parents are selling up in more expensive areas to be able to afford the fees, while for another subset, it's about making strategic moves to locations where they have a choice of good schools, both private and state, so that they can keep their options open. VAT on fees is creating new hotspots, places that are in an easy commute to London and that offer that attractive mix of more affordable family houses with several good schools in the neighbourhood. In this episode, we focus on one of those locations, Reading in Berkshire. With me to discuss this issue, which is at the forefront of so many parents' minds right now, are Dominic Agace, Chief Executive of Winkworth, Melanie Sanderson, Managing Editor at the Good Schools Guide, and Michael Folvari from the Reading office of Winkworth. Welcome to you all. First to you, Dominic. How is VAT on fees affecting the market now? Are schools at the top of home buyers' agenda rather than just close to the top?
I think so. I think as you see interest rates come down a bit, then schools have risen to the top as the and VAT is of many families. I think you're seeing a lot of effects. We've seen more properties in the market now than we have for 10 years, and we see a lot of houses on the market. I think you're seeing people adjust and try and work out their own chess game, what their next move is, to be able to educate their children in the best way they can.
Are you seeing the gap between the prices of houses that are close to really great schools really, really moving significantly faster than those that are outside good catchment areas?
I think you can see it happening, and you can see the examples coming into those areas. At the moment, I think this will take time to feed through. I think there are, you know, so many other costs that are effectively dampening sort of price, people's budgets for houses generally. I think what you're seeing as well, though, is not only that, the location, it's about the property type that people are buying. So traditionally, every area has a trophy street or five, and there's only ever like one or two available, and people are queuing up to buy these houses because they are the best of the best within the area. And suddenly there are a few of those available, and people aren't queuing up to buy them because budgets have been reined in. And so the hot spot now is for the family is probably the house down from that, perfectly adequate, has the bedrooms, just may not be in the best streets or may not be the luxury part of it. So budgets have been reined in, and the popularity of that sort of middle, I suppose, house market, it's sort of never been as popular really, in that, you know, often seeing sealed bids and flying at the door. And that is the adjustment of budgets of families.
And talking about adjustment budgets, are people who are paying scale fees able now to borrow less on a mortgage?
Yes, I mean it's a very big hit to income. So undoubtedly, and I think they're having to work. I mean, hearing stories of people, going abroad to work in areas where they pay less tax to offset the tax they're having to pay on education for schools they've committed to. So there's all those problems. Perhaps that is also part of the story why the sort of bigger, most expensive houses in the area aren't selling as they traditionally have.
So the trophy house, not so popular, but that kind of middle-level house on a good street, near to a good school, that's the desirable asset now.
I think you have sort of three moves, don't you, in it all. You sort of downsize. I mean, you choose the same area and you have a smaller house. You choose a new area with the same size house, but close to the area you're in. Or you go to a completely different area where education is free, perhaps, and with great quality local schools. So I think those are probably your three moves as a house owner, and you know, see which ones fit you best.
Right. So the area we're going to be talking about, Reading, seems to exemplify all that. More affordable family houses now, good schools, and also a very easy commute into London.
Great transport. Yeah, I mean, exactly that. And I think you're seeing it in the rental market as well. I mean, Reading itself is sort of becoming the perfect spot if you sort of work in London. I mean, when rents shot up in recent years, you saw it, people renting in Reading, because that was a way of managing the affordability while still being able to get to work. And again, the surrounding areas to Reading have some, and Reading have some amazing schools. And so for those three options, one of the options being, you know, move to the country to get yourself into a really quality local school, perhaps with a sort of, you know, more outdoor space than you might have in London, in a similar school, that, you know, fits the bill, really.
Thank you for that, Dominic. Now, over to you, Melanie. First, what I'd like from you is an overview of the impact of fees. Are parents just shouldering the burden, or many changing their plans?
Honestly, at this point, it's too early to say, Anne. I mean, it shouldn't come as a surprise that the wealthiest people have managed to shoulder the burden, as you say. But for the majority of parents, it has added a great deal of extra pressure to their finances and really stretched them. Parents typically who have children already in the independent sector are finding ways to make it work, maybe cutting back on holidays, not changing their car. You know, those kinds of frills are definitely going. But it does remain to be seen what the next generation of young parents coming through the system will do. And I think that's when we'll really feel the impact.
I'm a parent listening to this and I'm realising that I just cannot pay those fees and I need to explore the state sector. How do you find out what's on offer and what's good and what's not?
I think the trick really is to treat it almost like a jigsaw puzzle and pull all the bits together piece by piece, because you get different bits of information from different sources. So for most people, the first stop would be Ofsted, and that's not a terrible place to start, although it will tell you whether the school is well run and compliant to, for example, safeguarding protocols, etc. But what it won't tell you is whether that school is going to be a good pastoral fit for your child and whether the ethos will actually suit your family. So take that for what it is. Then move on to things like league tables, also quite useful, published in the papers every year. Again, not a bad starting point, but it doesn't tell you about the context of the school. So from there, you can go to the gov.uk website, also really helpful. And that actually does give you a good steer for a thing called Progress 8, which basically tells parents how much progress pupils have made from the end of their primary school years to their GCSEs. So that's a really good indicator of strong teaching. And then on top of that, I would say go to all the open days. Make sure you're really well prepared. Go with a notebook, go with a list of pre-prepared questions for the head, for teachers, for pupils, who are the best ambassadors ultimately, that show you round, and really dig deep into the culture of the school. It's important to remember that when the head teacher stands up and gives their talk, they are going to be your child's North Star for the next X years. And you need to really buy into their ethos when it comes to behaviour, discipline, pastoral concerns, that kind of thing. And finally, you know, what we find at the Good Schools Guide is word of mouth is the very best way to get under the skin of the school, really lift the hood, and just talk to as many parents as you possibly can to get a feel for how their child has fared in the school you're considering. That's what we do.
I love that comparison between a great head teacher and the North Star. And I'm currently remembering very, very fondly a couple of head teachers in my past. Thank you, ladies. But back to finding this good school. You've located the school. How do you manage to get your kid in there?
The first thing is it's really important to understand how catchments work. And interestingly, Berkshire is especially complicated in this regard. So if you looked at all the catchment maps of primary schools on a map in Berkshire, they are essentially lines drawn on maps. And where you would expect a school ordinarily to sit in the centre of a catchment district, that doesn't seem to be the case in Berkshire, which is also complicated by the fact that there are six local authorities. So lots of research and lots of homework for parents to do. You know, as with everywhere, and particularly in the more urban area, the urban part of Reading, you do have to live exceptionally close to schools to really get your first choice. So the Oxford Road Community School, which takes 30 children in every year, the last place offered in the last round of offers this year went to a child who lived 0.23 miles away.
That is really quite scary, that you really need to live almost on top of the school.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there are still schools where you can live less close, and I think if you move to the outskirts of an area, that can be really helpful. So places like Sonning, the Sonning C of E Primary, the last child offered lived 1.39 miles away. Caversham actually was back into the closer catchment, so that was 0.4 miles away. But the most important thing is for parents just to really look into this. All this information is freely available on local authority websites. So before you jump into buying a property, really do that homework and work out what your child's chances are of getting a place.
Now, secondaries are another consideration. How do you find out what a great state secondary is? Is it by that same route? And are selective secondaries the very best, or is that an oversimplification of things?
I think looking at an area like Reading, you know, that's a really interesting educational landscape that you've got there, because they've got two absolutely outstanding grammar schools. You've got the Kendrick School for girls and the Reading School for boys. And it's really important to remember that those are exceptionally difficult to get into. The means of entry is that the child sits a test when they're about 10 years old, when they're in year six, and places are offered in rank order of achievement in that test, but also you have to live in priority areas. So again, to parents, make sure that you really understand what the admissions criteria are here, because if you get one of those two wrong, your child is going to stand far less of a chance of getting in. But Reading is not like Buckinghamshire or Kent, where grammar schools cream off. There's so many grammar schools that they cream off the best teachers and the best pupils. You've got some really good fully comprehensive state schools in the area as well.
So not only have you as a parent got to do your homework, your children have to do their homework and make sure they get, is it on a point system entry into these selective secondaries?
Yeah, it's on a point system. The test that they sit is very much like an IQ test. So it'll be verbal, non-verbal reasoning, maths and English. But the key thing for parents, and this is very important to know if you're moving into the area, and parents that I speak to are often really surprised by the fact that it's crucial to prepare your child by tutoring them for up to a year in advance of entry for these exams.
So not only have you got to do your homework, your children have to do their homework, but they also have to be tutored on top. And what extra does that give the child?
It gives them the ability to approach the exam in a systematic way. You know, I think although grammar school exams are supposed to identify raw intelligence, tutoring can move children's scores up by 8 or 9 points, which is a really big difference, because it's all about exam technique and recognising the kind of question and knowing exactly how to answer it.
I think we're all really taken aback by the complexity of this. Now, against this background, how are independent schools fighting back? Are they cutting back on services to maybe limit the fee increases? I've heard of boarding schools taking more day pupils, for example.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, I think schools have already cut back on frills. We've already seen that happening. And sadly, they are also now cutting staff perhaps not replacing a teacher or a teaching assistant that leaves, or cutting back on the support side. You know, like all businesses, they're having to scale back in these harder times. But there are ways that the better schools who approach their management much more like a business are monetizing their assets. So yes, they are. Boarding schools are taking in more day pupils. We're seeing a lot of prep schools now saying, okay, we're going to take pupils up to the age of 16 and get them through their GCSEs, which is, you know, frankly, it's a win-win for the parent, assuming they're happy with the school and the school. You know, we're seeing lots of schools, particularly in this area. In fact, almost all the boys' schools in and around Reading have moved from being single-sex to co-educational. So we've got Reading Bluecoat, Shiplake and the Oratory have all gone co-educational in the past few years. And really, it's just about, for schools now, giving parents fewer reasons not to send their child there.
For those who are kind of unfamiliar about the level of fees and what the impact of that is, can you give us some idea of what the hit is?
On average, school fees have increased by between 12 and 14% due to VAT being added. But it's really important to remember as well that schools increase their fees year on year anyway. So you might be looking at a 3 to 5% increase on top of whatever they're putting on in terms of VAT anyway. So in reality, when we talk about an uplift of 20%, it's in most cases going to be more than that.
So the typical London independent school fee is now what?
Typically in London, you're around the £30,000 mark.
Per term or per year?
Per year.
Per year.
Per year, yes. Yeah.
And outside London for a day independent school?
Well, when you're as close to London as Reading is, it's not material. There's no material difference because, of course, their costs are equivalent, you know, and in fact, they probably have more grounds to run, more staff to pay. So pretty much the same.
Now, that's quite a lot of money. Before you start out on the independent school journey, as you might call it, how do you assess whether it's worth it? I mean, is the outcome necessarily better?
That is the million-dollar question. I think, you know, parents now need to really think about their child as an individual. And one thing that I would say is every child is different. Some bright children can cope brilliantly in a big school with 1,000 children. Some need more nurturing and may need a smaller, more pastoral environment. And that's where the state-maintained sector can sometimes fall short. So as a parent, if you do have that luxury of choice, it's really important to put your child at the centre of the decision. But on top of that, I mean, the advice we generally give to parents is to take a really long, hard look at their long-term finances. You've got to be very realistic if you enter into a 14-year journey that you can afford it not just today, but down the line. And none of us really know what's going to happen with fees other than they're not going to get any cheaper. The other thing that I would say is possibly consider bursary or scholarship options. There's more money available than parents think. And although scholarships are not huge these days, it can give you a 5 or 10% discount. Bursary thresholds are often higher than parents expect. So there are other options that parents can explore.
So as part of doing your homework, you've got to explore all the options and really choose, if you're going to move out of town, a place that's going to offer you everything you want, like Reading, more affordable, plenty of good state schools, but some private ones as well.
Yes, exactly, because it's also not a problem for parents to mix and match state and private education. So you could do primary for one, secondary for another, and then change again back in either direction for the sixth form.
Thank you for that really great lesson on what we need to know now about VAT on school fees. And it's over to you, Michael. Reading, it's your part of the world, and schools are one of the reasons why this area is rising up the chart. So tell us about the schools.
Well, Reading has lots of good and excellent schools, and it's pretty much across the town. So there are certain areas where there are more, but most suburbs have a good primary school. Secondary schools, again, there's probably more that are more highly in demand. There's the two grammar schools, Reading and Kendrick, that Melanie's already mentioned, that are both excellent. And lots of people move into the area hoping to get their children into those schools, albeit they need to do a test.
So we know what are the populous state secondaries. Is there a kind of primary school that clients often mention to you that they want to live close to?
There are three primary schools in the top 10 in Caversham. So you've got the Heights, Caversham Primary and the Hill. Now, all of those, in terms of league tables, they sit in the top 10 in Reading.
Caversham, is that a suburb of Reading or is that in the town?
Caversham is a suburb of Reading. It's just the other side of the River Thames from Reading Town Centre. So it's very, very close to the town centre and the train station.
Reading hasn't always had the greatest reputation. Some people say that it's even a bit boring. Can you tell us more about the town?
I wouldn't say it's as boring as people say. It's changed massively in recent history. Crossrail has had a huge impact. The transport links are fantastic. And actually, Reading has some nicer areas. It has three rivers, lots of lovely walks. The town centre is actually pretty well served, cafes, restaurants, bars, that sort of thing. And then the countryside surrounding Reading is in many places lovely. There's plenty to do. And of course, if you want to do something else, you want to head into the city. I took the train from Reading to Paddington this morning. It took me 23 minutes.
So I'm apologising now to Reading for calling it boring and about to ask, Michael, what are the smartest parts of town?
The smartest parts of town, and probably most desirable, are areas like Caversham and Sonning. They're going to be the two main suburbs where people want to live.
Sonning, tell us more about that. It's just by the river, isn't it?
Sonning is on the river. It's popular, possibly because George Clooney lives there, but also it has its own village feel. It's less than 3 miles into central Reading and well connected.
When people come to see you about buying, is a good primary school the first question they ask about?
It's probably not the first, but it's up there now. It's becoming more and more important.
So education, 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 as Tony Blair once said. We have this perception that Reading is currently just more affordable, particularly if you're moving out of London. Is that still the case?
It certainly is, Anne. Reading is still far more affordable than London and actually probably more affordable than most of the towns and cities in between Reading and London. For example, in an area like Caversham, close to one of those top schools, you could buy a four-bedroom detached house for as little as £600,000.
And in Sonning, how much?
Sonning is more expensive. I think prices in Sonning have been pushed up because of the George Clooney effect. An average four-bedroom house in Sonning now is going to cost you around about £1 million.
But still significantly cheaper than parts of London. Is that where you're seeing most of your buyers come from?
We are, yes. There's a huge influx of people moving from London because of the schools and transport links. Also, places such as Maidenhead, Slough, places in between London and Reading, where actual fact, Reading is often easier to get into central London than some of those towns.
The Elizabeth line has been a real game changer. Can you tell us just how quick that commute is?
Well, in actual fact, Anne, the Elizabeth line has made the journey slower into Paddington. I got the fast train this morning, as I said, and it took 23 minutes. The Elizabeth line is 45. Most people will, from Reading, catch the fast train, unless, of course, they're working in Canary Wharf or the city, where they may jump on the Elizabeth line, start work on the train in the morning, and not have to change at Paddington.
So are you seeing some city and Canary Wharf workers coming to you to move to Reading?
Yes, that's happening more and more, and particularly now that people are having to go back to work rather than having to work from home, it's a really good option for people.
When we were talking before we recorded this, you said you'd been in Reading since 2014. Has it been longer than that, actually?
I've moved to Reading in 1982, but my office has been open in Reading since 2014.
And what's the changes been since then?
The town has transformed really around that train station. The redevelopment of the train station and the opening of Crossrail in 2018 has seen a huge change to the town.
So is the phrase gentrification right?
Absolutely. It certainly is. We see lots of people moving to Reading from London. And as I said before, the towns in between Reading and London. House prices have gone up, but the town has improved to cater for these people moving into the town.
Now, say I'm a first-time buyer and I'm thinking Reading sounds like a really great proposition. What kind of price would I pay for a three-bedroomed house, say, in the middle of Reading, in perhaps not such a smart area?
So lots of first-time buyers moving to Reading because of affordability. So for a three-bedroom terrace house, for argument's sake, around about 350 will set the first-time buyer back.
So it's affordable, as well as providing great education. So thank you for that trip around Reading. And again, I apologise for everything I said about it. That's about all we've got time for. But I do have a final question for both you and for Melanie. First to you, Melanie. It's all about location, location, location. But nowadays, it's also education, education, education. If you're house hunting, should a good state primary in the neighbourhood be the first thing you look for?
Yeah, I think the truth is it's all about choice. And I think with things so uncertain in the financial area and fees escalating on an annual basis, if I were starting out now, I would be looking for a good state primary school, also access to a prep if I wanted or needed one, and the same at the secondary level. So Reading has a number of options there. You've got the grammar schools, you've got the comprehensives, and you've got some really good independent schools as well.
Over to you, Michael, on that one.
Schools are really important for people who are moving into an area, and as our transport links, I think Reading offers both. And I second what Melanie said, that there's lots of good state primary, secondary schools, lots of good independent schools, and the grammar schools, I believe, are two of the best in the country. So Reading does offer lots of options for those families who are moving and yet still potentially want to, or need to, get into London for work.
I feel as if we've learnt a great deal. Dominic, Melanie and Michael, thank you very much for your insights, and thank you very much for joining us for this episode of The Property Exchange. Do subscribe and join us for next month's podcast.
This has been The Property Exchange podcast. For more information, go to winkworth.co.uk or find us on Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. The producer was Tom Maddox. For more episodes, make sure to subscribe to your favourite podcast provider.